Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Luke 17, especially these words. Jesus said, "So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" So far, our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this LWML Sunday, it is appropriate that all of our readings deal with discipleship. Habakkuk, prophet of God, questioning God. God, where are you? What are you thinking? Paul, speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy, encouraging Timothy, reminding him of the grace that he's been given from the very beginning of his life up until then. And of course, Jesus giving us his thoughts on discipleship in Luke 17. Jesus begins there in Luke 17 talking about those temptations to sin are sure to come. Not exactly an encouraging thought from Jesus, from God who knows everything. He is saying that you will be tempted. And there are indeed times you will fall. Jesus takes sin seriously. If you cause one of these little ones, one of his disciples, to sin, it'd be better to have a millstone, a huge rock, hung around your neck and to be thrown into the heart of the sea. Pay attention to yourselves, Jesus says. And not only to yourself, but to your brother also. If your brother sins, rebuke him, says Jesus. This is what a disciple does. A disciple knows well the law of God. A disciple, after all, is a learner, someone sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing from him his law, those commandments that seem so simple. Yet the more that we learn them as disciples, the more we find how deep they go. They don't just curb our actions, but they deal with our heart and our mind as well. Jesus demands perfection on the outside, and even more on the inside. Pay attention to yourself, Jesus says. Of course, the disciples realize how difficult this is, and so they implore Jesus, increase our faith. Give us more that we'll be able to do this, to be good disciples. They feel inadequate to the task. And of course, that's the whole point of the law, to make us feel inadequate to the task. As we look at ourselves and our lives in light of that mirror of the law, we find exactly that. That we don't measure up. We don't look like the disciples that we want to look like. Fear, loving, and trusting God above all things? Well, maybe sometimes. Truly loving God above all else, even sin? Well, maybe. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. Paying attention to ourselves. Catching ourselves before we sin and paying attention to our neighbor also. Of course, we're concerned about our neighbor. It's only right. If someone has a medical issue, aren't we the first to rush to help them? Of course! But if someone has a spiritual issue, something even more serious than a medical condition, would we be right there, helping, praying, speaking God's word? The law is meant to convict us. And as Jesus spoke these words, the disciples felt that sting of the law, that they were not good enough to be the disciples of Jesus. And they weren't. Neither are we. You know it. We are by nature sinful and unclean. Do we deserve to be Jesus' disciples? Of course not. Jesus needs perfect disciples, those who will listen to him and do his word, those who will not sin, those who would rather gouge out their eye or cut off their hand rather than sin. That's not us. That's not Jesus' first 12 disciples either. Jesus reminds us that the law is indeed exacting and severe. With that little parable about the master and the servant. The servant is plowing all day and comes in. Will the master say to the servant, "Okay, recline at table and I'll serve you"? No. The master says, "Get the dinner ready and serve me, and then you can eat." And so also when you have done everything, they say, "We have only done our duty. We are unworthy servants." If you have done everything in the law, every moment of your life, if you have kept the law perfectly, that is the bare minimum of your duty before your Creator. The bare minimum. You and I have not kept the law perfectly. We have not done the bare minimum. Habakkuk was in that same boat in our Old Testament reading. He saw all of the bad things going on in the world around him. He knew that God wasn't really paying attention. God didn't even care. All of these evil people were getting ahead, and the righteous, they were getting stepped all over. God, what are you thinking? And God answers Habakkuk, a terrifying thing indeed. The righteous shall live by faith. By faith, we live. Not by the perfection of the law that we attain for ourselves, because we cannot, but we live by faith. That same faith that Timothy was taught when he was young. Reminder, Sunday school begins for our kids this morning, right after service in the basement. Faith that Timothy knew, that he lived in, and now he was a pastor of a congregation. And he knew that Jesus had saved him for a holy calling, not because of his own works, but by the purpose of God and the grace of God. Not by our works are we saved, but by the purpose of God. It was his purpose at just the right time to send forth a Savior, Jesus, to take on himself all of our sins and die in our place under the wrath of the Father. This was the plan of God all along, that you would not be left out, but grafted in, brought into his church through your baptism into him, and fed and nourished day after day with his own body and blood. We rejoice, don't we, as Christians? We rejoice in the goodness and the mercy and the love of God, that we are grafted in as brothers and sisters of Christ. But still, we're servants, aren't we? Servants before our holy God, trying our best indeed, and failing at times, yes, but repenting. If you go to your brother 7 times in a day and say, "I repent," how many times can you go before God that day and ask for forgiveness? 7 times 7? There is no number on the amount of times God will forgive you. Every time. We're servants, one of another, aren't we? Not that some are before others, no. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, created by him to do good works, that we might walk in them, we might serve one another. Of course, as we began the sermon, as we began this service, it is LWML Sunday. It's what the LWML does. It encourages women to serve one another and all of those in the world around them. You heard Connie talk about the mites, how they served others in faraway places by putting the funds in those missionaries' hands, that those missionaries can go all across the globe giving humanitarian aid and giving Jesus. That's not all. Of course, they do things right here, building up one another in Christ. That's what their meetings are all about, is they have study together and fellowship together. This is what they do. They live their lives as disciples of Christ, looking actively to help their neighbor around them. This is what you do as a Christian as well. You don't want your neighbor to stumble, of course not. But you want them to direct their attention back to Jesus. And so everything you do and say to your neighbor gives Christ. As you pray for them, as you encourage them with your words and actions, all that you do, it's a big part of why we gather together, isn't it? To encourage one another in Christ. You may not need to be encouraged. Maybe everything is going great in your life. But dear brother or sister, your neighbor might need it. They may be at a low point in their life. They might need your smile, your word, your hug, your encouragement. Thus, as disciples of Jesus, we live in his grace, and we live to give that grace to one another. In the name of Jesus, amen.